Well, I am the proud owner of a beautiful pink shirt, compliments of the math department and the students that are involved in the math modeling. I'm in good company. I see a few pink shirts around. They asked that I would put it on, but I was afraid with this bright color there might be a glare throughout the audience and you wouldn't be able to see because of the glare. So I will wear it proudly at another time. It is so wonderful to be back with you. I've been traveling for 10 days and am back home, and I appreciate that more and more as I am away and return. So it's great to be with you and share with you today. Today's message is part one of a two-part series. As I considered my this first year in my presidency and thinking over the inaugural festivities and ceremonies that were to occur last fall, I came upon the theme that I wanted to use in my own heart for that experience and through this year, and that is the theme is informed by the past and building for the future. And so today's message, part one, is the informed by the past. Sometime later in the semester, we'll be looking at part two as we look to the future. We Americans are hungry a lot. We might be hungry for chocolate or for pizza. Sometimes it's for relationships, for love. And we are also hungry to know who we are. And so it's to the cravings of knowing who we are that I wish to direct our attention this morning. In Kentucky, we have many idioms, and I'm sure you do from your own background, but one of those expressions here will often arise in the context of a person who came from humble upbringing, but has now made it in the sense of the world, has moved into circles of fame and accomplishment. And so a very high compliment that can be paid to such an individual is to say, he never forgot where he came from. Or she never forgot where he came from. This is to say that his past or her past is still very much a part of who he or she is. The scripture verse that I'm going to be using today comes from the book of Deuteronomy. And I see Deuteronomy as a book which is a book of remembrances. It's a series of discourses and exhortations given by Moses before crossing the Jordan to go into Canaan. It was a life passage for them, and just as the Israelites were in a life passage, you too are in a life passage. Particularly for you seniors, you may see yourself as preparing and soon to be walking into the promised land, into this land of no more exams, land of milk and honey, where the paychecks begin. Rather than you writing paychecks, you begin getting paychecks. And so it is, in a sense, a passage for you. Deuteronomy is a rehearsal of the call to obedience, and it's a review of experiences of prior generations. It's a reconnecting of the past to prepare for the future. But there is a sense of the eternal in our past, and that is what helps us to enter into this next season with confidence and purpose. So I want to read one verse from Deuteronomy. It comes out of Deuteronomy 4, verse 20. The Lord is speaking through Moses, and Moses is saying to the children of Israel as they are preparing to move into this next season. He says, "But as for you, the Lord took you and brought you out of the iron smelting furnace, out of Egypt, to be the people of his inheritance, as you now are." The Lord is speaking to his people here, preparing them for the future that's to be opened up to them. He's getting them ready for a new land, for new adventures, for new opportunities. But it's interesting that as a preparation for what's to come, he calls them to remember. Why? Why must we remember the past? Why must we look back to be prepared for the future? And I believe that the most significant reason is that there is an eternal dimension to our past. Now, there are many aspects of our past. As Asbarians, we can think upon those kinds of things that have been a part of our history, even to the extent of habits and traditions that used to be, that are no longer. But there is an eternal dimension to our lives as Christians, and there is an eternal dimension to us as Asburians that causes us to need to look back and to remember. And so it's on this eternal, the enduring, the lasting dimensions of our past that we'll place our focus today. And so the Lord is saying to the Israelites in verse 20, he says, the Lord has taken you out of the iron smelting furnaces. And many of us are going through and have gone through, and no doubt will continue in our life to walk through the fiery furnace. Or perhaps we've been in Egypt, we've been in some bondage or under some oppression that the Lord has delivered us from. And so he delivers us out of the furnace, he delivers us out of Egypt, out of bondage, to be the people of his inheritance, as you are now. We are his inheritance. In current day context, I believe the Lord is saying to us, I have done great things for you. I have walked with you. I have carried you when you could not walk. I've placed a song in your heart. I've provided joy in your heart. I have performed miracles before you. I have been your strength. I've been your confidence. This is what remains of our inheritance. This is our heritage. It is our birthright. If we've been born again, we've been born into the family of God, and it is our inheritance to be people of God in whom he has placed confidence in him. We are his sons and daughters. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's what I like to refer to, and there's literature that uses this term. It's the eternal now, the sense of eternity, but yet we are living in the here and now. That is, life in Christ is all one. The past, the present, the future are intricately woven together. We learn from the past, but we live for the future, our eternal future. We pray this when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth in the here and now as it is in heaven, the eternal. Jesus is saying, I am in you and you are in me. He wants to bring heaven to earth to us now, the kingdom of God here and now. And he wants us to be with him in heaven, in spirit, where he is. Heaven coming to earth now and us being with him now. During the past 10 days, I've been in Florida, sleeping in a different bed every night, meeting with Asbury College alumni, friends, and constituents. And along the way, I'm learning more and more about who we are as Asburians. And I'm learning, and it's becoming very evident, that it is the eternal that survives the years and even decades. In fact, I met one gentleman. It was such a privilege for me to meet this one particular gentleman in Fort Myers last week. He walked up to me, we shook hands, greeted, he gave me his name, and he said, I have now shaken the hand of every president of Asbury College. And I looked at him because I'm thinking back, 1890, John Wesley Hughes, and he said, yes, I was 6 years old when I shook the hand of John Wesley Hughes. We Christians and we as Asburians have a rich heritage, and we must embrace this heritage, and we recognize it as a building block upon which the present and the future are built. And in fact, I believe the best way to honor the past is to build upon it for the future. Now, why must we remember? The Testaments, the Old and New Testaments, are full of God's calling us to remember. Jesus said, remember me. At the Last Supper, he was saying, remember me. We are often called to remember. So why would we be called to remember? And I want to give just a few points, certainly not exhaustive, but just to give us a glimpse of this. We are called to remember because it gives us this eternal perspective or a spiritual worldview. We are both spirit and we are human. But God wants us living more in the reality of who we are in him rather than the human realm. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we know that the Holy Spirit, the spirit of Jesus, indwells us. And so the spirit of God is within us. Where the spirit of God is, there is freedom. And we, with unveiled faces, that means that with the freedom that the Holy Spirit brings, we lift all of the facades that we have, and we allow our face to be unveiled as we look upon Jesus with everlasting glory, His glory, which comes from the Lord. And so we have a choice about where we live. We have a choice about whether we live without the Spirit's leading us, our face being veiled and living behind the many facades, or we can choose to allow the unveiling to take place and to live in the freedom, the victory, the shelter where He is. Or we can choose to live in the world in emptiness, guilt, frustration, and anger. That is a product of the world. And so we are called to be in the world, but not of it. That's the eternal perspective. Also, we need to remember, because our heritage is a valuable resource that God will use to multiply His work through us. Now, I come from a business background, business discipline, and one thing that organizations do is to prepare financial statements and a balance sheet. And one thing you list on your balance sheet are your assets. What are your assets? The place where value is, it comes. So one of our assets as Christians and one of our assets as Asbarians is that we have a rich, valuable resource in our heritage. And God will use this past and use our background and our heritage as a way to multiply work through us. In Matthew 25, which is the parable of the talents, Jesus had some pretty harsh words for the man who had resources but chose to bury them and to not use them productively to accomplish a greater good. You recall the story. Each of the three men were given talents. They had an inheritance. One was given five talents, one was given three, and one was given one. And Jesus said, put these talents to work. It was an inheritance, and He's saying, put your inheritance to work, if you will. Two chose to put their inheritance to work. One chose to bury it. And Jesus characterized the one who did not put his treasure to work as being wicked and lazy. Pretty harsh words. Another reason that we must remember is that remembrance builds our faith and courage. It's actually for our own benefit that God tells us to remember. Are you facing a personal struggle today? Are you facing a challenge or a crisis? The only way to face a giant is to do as David did. He remembered the lion and he remembered the bear. And so then when he went up against Goliath, he went without fear because he remembered what God had done. Throughout both Testaments, we read, remember the powerful arm of the Lord to perform miracles on your behalf. Remember your past deliverances and those of your family. We are to guard these memories, keep them close at hand, and make them always fresh in our mind. Remember the ways in which God has pulled us out of the furnace, out of the fiery trials, and delivered us from bondage. We remember ways in which He has worked in the past because that reminds us of what He can do, that He is able, that He is in control, that He is faithful. Now, I'm certain that every one of us are carrying situations in our hearts today in which we need to be reminded of who God is. I, too, am carrying a burden, a particular burden for an extended family member whose life is in crisis, and today is not the time to elaborate on that. Neither I nor my family can do one thing to fix this situation. But we are crying out to the Lord, saying, God, You are able. We have seen Your miracles of the past, and we trust You for today to work all things together for good for those who love You and are called according to Your purpose. And so this is our confidence and hope for today and for the future, that we can trust a God who has been faithful in the past. We do not walk this journey alone. So in reality, I can do nothing myself, but I am resting in the One who can. Remembering is also a weapon against fear. Fear cannot get a stranglehold on the heart of someone whose eyes are full of a vision of God's greatness and His majesty. Nehemiah understood this principle well. He was pacing the walls of Jerusalem, tired, weary, trying to rebuild a city. They were surrounded by fierce adversaries, in fact, a coalition of three nations. And I'm not quite sure what it would be like to be facing an adversary of three nations. If we have three individuals that we think are opposed to us, we feel like we're in pretty big distress. But he had three nations that were adversaries. The workers were weary, and you remember the story. They stood working with a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other. But the Lord came to them and said, "Do not be afraid, for I am among you. Remember, I have been mighty, I have been great, I have been powerful." Many of you have had this same experience. You all have stories to tell. You have stories to tell one another, ways in which you can speak of the marvelous ways that God has delivered you. Tell your stories. Tell them to one another. Encourage one another. It also honors those that have gone before us, for those who have given their lives to make this world a better place, for those that have sacrificed much, and many of them were your own immediate family, your parents, your grandparents, siblings that have sacrificed much. And we must not take that for granted. To remember the riches of His divine provision is a safeguard. It is a weapon. It is a safeguard to the dangers of forgetfulness and idolatry. In Deuteronomy 4:23, just a few verses down, the Lord says, "Be careful not to forget, lest you make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything that God has forbidden." And He says, "After you have children and grandchildren and have lived in the land for a long time, do not forget." So to forget is dangerous for us. And finally, it encourages us in our current day to work so that those who come behind us will find us faithful. The Word says, "He who began a good work in us will bring it to pass." This was the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Philippi, and it applies to us today. As Asbarians, we are encouraged to carry on the good work until the day of His return. So these are some reasons why we are called to remember. And with a few short minutes remaining, I want to suggest a second component of this. What is it that we remember? What is our inheritance as Asbarians? We have a 117-year history, and so I have just a few minutes to give a glimpse, but let me give it a whirl. Asbarians have always been and continue to be a people of strength, a people of courage, of commitment. From the early days, this has been an institution that led the way. We have been leaders, we've been and are leaders, but we have been a leader in academic excellence and spiritual vitality. This tagline is timeless. It was true in 1890, and it remains so today. There are many famous names you know that I could mention. For example, Susan B. Anthony delivered a commencement address. William Jennings Bryan spoke in chapel. Corrie ten Boom spoke in this chapel, and the Von Trapps sang in chapel. And names such as E. Stanley Jones would be familiar. But I want to focus on a few illustrations and persons, anecdotes of contributions that may not be familiar to you but have made enduring significance. First of all, let me just say that structurally, from the very beginning, Asbury College was coeducational. Now, that was pretty novel and unique in 1890. Advertisements for the college promoted Asbury College as training young men and women for the world. That was long before the word globalization, the word internationalization became popular. We have historically thought globally. This is not new for us. In fact, our alumni today are in over 80 countries across 5 continents. Graduates, both men and women, have been called to span the continents as tent makers, teachers, preachers, missionaries. 4 years ago, I was invited as a visiting scholar to teach at Ijevsk University in Ijevsk, Russia. I was there for 2 weeks. While I was there, I discovered a little evangelical church in the city, and I made my way there, accompanied by an interpreter. Arriving early, I began viewing the plaques and the memorabilia that were hanging on the walls. One particular one caught my eye. I saw a picture of a man, a brass plate with a name that read Jack Buskey, and he appeared to be American. So I was scanning the text written in Russian. 2 words popped out at me, and those 2 words were Asbury College. I gasp in awe, as you might imagine, ask the interpreter to read the Russian text. And as she read, it cited Dr. Buskey as the founder of the church immediately following the fall of communism in 1989. He was the first Christian minister to establish a church in that city of 3 million people after the Iron Curtain fell. I was so proud to see his name on the wall and to know that he was an Asburian. Last week, while attending a reception in Florida, I met a man who introduced himself to me as Jack Buskey. Once again, I gasp. "Oh, I know you," I exclaimed. He said, "No, I don't think we've met." But the eternal work of his life, given as a pastor in Russia, was continuing to thrive in Izhevsk, and I knew of his work. 3 weeks ago, I was in Honduras. I had been there several times, and there are several of our students that have been there working. And so I was out visiting a school. School happened to not be in session at that time, but there were some workers on the grounds that were getting it ready for the new school session to begin. And so I was just walking around this school, and one of the ground workers stood up and was facing me. And as I looked at him, he had on a T-shirt that said Asbury College. And I looked at him, and my Spanish is very, very limited, and his English obviously was very limited, and so I started pointing to his shirt and trying to say, "Hey, that's me. I know your shirt." And he looked at me like I was crazy because he didn't understand any of my hand motions, but he had no clue, I was convinced, who Asbury College was. But the fact is that some Asburian has been there in his path and had left that shirt. And so the Asbury stamp, thumbprint, spans the globe. And sometimes others are not even aware of the contribution that has been made. That T-shirt was probably left by someone that's sitting here today. It could have been Mark Heppner. It could have been Jessica Dupree. It may have been Jared Oder, Natalie Curry, many of you who have been, and no doubt someone has left their Asbury T-shirt there. But that is the message of Asbury College. We are leaving our stamp across the world. Now, this is not just in recent days. In 1931, the New York Times identified Asbury College as second on the list of the 10 most national colleges. So even back in the 30s, the New York Times was saying Asbury College is a school that is known throughout the nation. The very first chaplain of the U.S. Senate was a 1928 Asbury graduate. He began the National Day of Prayer, which continues today. In 1931, a female graduate of Asbury College went to the heart of Appalachia to begin Kentucky Mountain Bible College so that young people of the mountains could have a Christian education. 2 weeks ago, I was in Washington, D.C. at a conference, sitting at a lunch table. I knew no one at the table. We were introducing ourselves, and when this man that I was sitting next to me introduced himself that he was from Texas, and when he learned that I'm from Asbury College, he became quiet, his eyes even filled with tears, and he said, "Do you know, it's because of Asbury College that I'm a Christian today." And he began to tell the story that in 1970, when the revival began in this auditorium, in Hughes Auditorium, students scattered across the country to testify of the work of the Holy Spirit. A sophomore student from Asbury went to this man's church in Texas, shared Christ, and led him to the Lord. And there he was 2 weeks ago in D.C. telling me of the great history and legacy of Asbury College. Asburians, we have an inheritance. Our heritage is rich, and we will continue to fulfill our mission as long as the Lord tarries. We remember the past because it connects us to the future. We remember and we value the eternal dimension of our past. Other memories are warm. They fill our hearts. They fill out our pages of our human experience. But it's not about being known. It's not about being famous. But it's about who God is and what he has done in the past. May he be glorified as we together march on to the days ahead.
We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road. Those those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace.
Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as though it has gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faith.
Now, it's not just enough to remember the past, but it is on the past in which we are informed and we build for our present and future. So we'll be talking about building for the future in part two. I've been away, as I said, for 10 days, and I returned home on Saturday. My husband left on Thursday for Africa for 2 weeks. And so our timing has not been particularly good with each other, because what this means is it will be 3.5 weeks before we will see each other again. Now, I have wonderful memories of our past and of our life and our marriage and our commitment to one another, but the past is not enough. I'm looking forward to that day he returns and when we are reconnected again and reunited. He's left notes. When I got home, I found notes all over the house. There was a big note in the kitchen with drawing on it. He can draw. I can't, but he can. And I went into, so welcome me home. Sorry he wasn't there. And then I went into the bathroom, and here was a picture of a hand with two thumbs up. Looking good, baby. And so as I've gone through the house, I've found various different notes and messages from him. But as I sat down this morning to do my devotions, I'm using a devotional book. In fact, we are both going through the same devotional book this year. And so I opened up my devotional book to today's date, and there was a note from him. So it's a good thing I sat down to do my devotions today, or I would have missed that one message he had. But here's the point. The past is wonderful. I value it. I treasure it. It's a resource. It is an encouragement to me. But I'm not living in that past. I am looking to the future. And I'm looking, in that example, I'm looking to his return and our being reunited again. And so it is in our Christian faith, and so it is in our Asbury experience. The past is wonderful, but the Lord is leaving notes and messages all around. Remember me, remember me. Remember who I am. I'm yours. You are mine. Let's not forget, because I want this to carry us in to the days ahead. And so that's God's message for us today. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are indeed the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord, for the ways in which our faith has grown, and we've walked further in this spiritual journey and grown in our faith and grown in our trust in who you are because of your faithfulness to us. And Lord, we thank you that the better we know you, the more we trust you. And so I thank you for this wonderful institution, for all that the Asburyans are doing across the world that only you even know. You occasionally give us opportunities to see a glimpse of what that means, but the fullness of that will never be realized until we are in your presence on the other side. But Lord, I pray for each one here today, for our present. May we be faithful to you in this day, and may we anticipate and look expectantly to the days ahead, because we know that you are our future. And we pray all of these things, Jesus, in your wonderful name. May this be a good day, and may it be a good week, Jesus, for your sake, we pray. Amen.